Fans, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. Very special weekend in baseball. This weekend, it is in Cooperstown, New York. The Hall of Fame inductions are going to be taking place. We've got the Baseball Writers Award for Tim Kirchen and the Excellence in Broadcasting Award, the Fort C. Frick Award, for Jack Graney. A pleasure to bring in our Hall of Famer, and that is John Miller. John, how are you today?
I'm well, Marty.
John, you were part of this, obviously, being a Hall of Famer, getting the Fort C. Frick Award. What is it like that morning when you're getting ready to face the public and make your speech? What is that excitement like in Cooperstown?
Well, I do want to send all my best wishes and congratulations to Tim Kirchen. I remember Tim Kirchen when he first started covering Major League Baseball with the Texas Rangers, and he had just spent 6 weeks in a row in Florida at the Rangers spring training facility, and then went right with the team to New York to open the season. And he was writing all of these stories for the opening day edition, a lot of extra stories and features and whatnot. So he was kind of swamped. And he had all of the laundry that he accumulated in 6 weeks in Florida with him. So he sent the laundry out. And while he's in the middle of writing all these articles and really focused on that, there's a knock on the door. And the bellman is bringing all of his cleaning in. And so, you know, Tim is kind of just sort of, yeah, bring it in. And the guy says, oh, that'll be $250. And so he pulls out a $5 from his wallet, hands him a $5 and says, keep the change, my man. And the guy says, well, it's $250. And Kirchen was like, $250? What? I could buy all new stuff for that. But that was his first introduction to a hotel in New York. So, and the price is there. But I'm just so thrilled for him because he has always not only loved the game, but just loved being around the game. And his method of covering baseball, and I think what makes him so successful at ESPN, he's got a great sense of humor. He's fun. He's fun to be around. And makes the game fun. So I'd like to see ESPN use him a lot more often covering baseball on television and radio because he's just not only brings the game alive with a lot of great stories and anecdotes and whatnot, but he just does it in a fun way. So I'm real happy for him and very excited that he's going in. And the guy who got the Frick Award, and again, you know, those of us who've won these awards, I mean, it's a thrill and it's very exciting and really a great highlight of a career. But I think all of us are the first to understand that we're not really in the Hall of Fame. We're not Hall of Famers, not like the players and the managers and the people who make the game and who are the game. It's a great award for both the writers and the broadcasters that the Hall of Fame gives out, which doesn't make us Hall of Famers. And having worked with Joe Morgan all those years, I knew that. And the actual Hall of Famers used to complain to Joe when we were on ESPN together, and you know, there'd be somebody who'd won an award, and they kept calling him, well, we have the Hall of Fame writer, blah blah blah, coming up, and they'd introduce the guy as the Hall of Famer, and here he is. And they would call Joe, the Hall of Famers, the actual Hall of Famers, and say, listen, they call this writer that they're putting on the air, they call him a Hall of Famer 20 times during the broadcast. And now here you are, an actual Hall of Famer, doing the game on Sundays, and nobody ever says anything about you being in the Hall of Fame. So I told Joe, I said, well, that's an excellent point. So I'm going to start using that if you don't mind, because I started out in 1990 with Joe calling him a Hall of Famer, and he said, listen, everybody already knows about that, and you don't have to keep, you know, sort of belaboring the point. But years later, then he finally said, because the actual Hall of Famers said, well, we want them to make sure they put out there that you're in the Hall of Fame, an actual Hall of Famer, instead of all these guys who won these awards instead. So anyway, so I know the difference, and I just want to point that out. It is a great thrill to get those kind of awards.
Well, I'm going to be a lawyer, and I'm going to disagree with you. In your profession, you are a Hall of Famer. And coincidentally, the award is given in Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame. So I'm still going to call you a Hall of Famer, and I'm not going to make the distinction. I'm going to be a lawyer and make that argument.
I do remember when I got notice that I'd won the award, my wife and I were in South America. We were on a trip on a ship, and we had stopped in South America. And then the next day, we're transiting the Panama Canal. And I get a phone call on my cell phone, and it's Willie Mays, and which was kind of exciting to get a call from Willie. And he was congratulating me on this award and whatnot. And so I made a point of saying to Willie the same thing I said to you. Said, I would just want you to know, Willie, you're an actual Hall of Famer. You're what the Hall of Fame is all about. And I know that this is an award I got from the Hall of Fame. That doesn't make me a Hall of Famer. And Willie said, and I'll never forget it, he said, well, I really appreciate you saying that and making that distinction. But I will say that it doesn't matter because everybody's going to call you a Hall of Famer, so you better just get used to it.
All right. You're a Hall of Famer, and that's I'm used to it. And you should be used to it, too, because that's what we're going to call you. But what about Jack Graney, John? He gets the Frick Award. Of course, you're a former winner of that award as well. Not many people know much about Jack Graney.
Well, you know, when because I've won that award, I'm all the living members who have won the Ford Frick Award are on the committee to vote in the new award winners. And this year they have a cycle. This year is the sort of the broadcast pioneers cycle. So only guys from way back when are considered for the award. So Jack Graney was a guy who played, I think he broke into the big leagues as an outfielder all the way back in 1910 and got his first break in the big leagues even before that as a pitcher. So he converted to being an outfielder, and he was a very good player. He was a small guy, no power, and he was a guy long before we ever had all this stuff about on-base percentage. You know, they didn't used to put those kind of statistics out there. It was all about batting average. But he thought that he could be real valuable to his team by just getting on base a lot and working counts and getting walks and just somehow getting on base. So he was one of the top on-base guys of his time and way ahead of his time when you think about it. And so they had all kinds of nicknames for him, 3-2 Graney and wait him out Graney and all this kind of stuff. And that was part of his game. So, but then years later, in the Depression, the Cleveland team decided they were going to start broadcasting the games. And he went to an audition. He'd been working at a car dealership and had kind of fallen upon hard times because of the Depression. So he was looking for work and something a little more substantial and during these hard times. So he went to the radio station that was going to carry the games and auditioned. Can you imagine that? A guy who was a player and a good player and a well-known player in Cleveland going in for an audition. Well, they liked it, and they put him on the air. They only did the home games live, and then they started a couple years later doing the road games via telegraphic recreation. And he really became famous in Cleveland for the way he did those recreations. And they started the Higbee's, one of the local department stores, had a glassed-in booth in an auditorium at their store where he and his partner would sit, and anybody could come watch him do it. And it became a big show that they would do the telegraphic recreations with the ticker tape that would come in from a Western Union operator at whatever ballpark that the Cleveland team was in. And Jack Graney would just use his knowledge of all those ballparks. He played all those years and his knowledge of those players. And he would embellish. He would give you the whole not just the actual nuts and bolts of what was going on in the game, because they give you a pitch-by-pitch report of the game. But he, between pitches, he'd give you the pitcher and what he looked like on the mound and how he's bent over at the waist and holding the ball behind his right hip. And then he reached up and fiddled with the bill of his cap. And he goes to the rosin bag and he'd start – and he was making stuff up, and he would make it up with his knowledge of what those guys did and the kinds of things that they did. And he really brought it alive, and the people just loved it. So he became real famous for that. And he broadcast the games there for more than 20 years and through World War II and on. He was given an invitation to broadcast a World Series in 1934. And so he was excited. And then the commissioner, the day before, said, no, he can't do the games. He's with the Cleveland team. He could be biased against the National League team because he'd been in the American League all these years. And so he was not allowed by the commissioner of baseball to broadcast the World Series. So when the series was over, he sent a letter to the commissioner, Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis, saying, listen, this is my profession now. And it's not that I'm with the Cleveland team. I'm a professional broadcaster. And if I don't mind saying so, I'm not too bad at it. And you're hurting my ability to make a living for no good reason whatsoever. And I want you to reconsider and allow me to do this and let me be considered on my own merits as a broadcaster. Well, the commissioner thought, well, that's a good point. So the next year, Jack Groening went and did the World Series. And when in subsequent years he wasn't on the series broadcast, and the Cleveland fans, he was so popular in Cleveland, they started putting out a petition, and thousands of people in Cleveland signed this petition saying they demanded that Jack Groening be put on the World Series so they can enjoy it much more than with the guys that were broadcasting the series on those games. So anyway, even when he retired, he announced he was going to retire. And after all those years broadcasting the games, he was much more popular as a broadcaster than he'd been even as a player. And he was a popular player. But the fans saw, wait a minute, what? There's no night? We're not going to have a Jack Groening night? And so they put out a petition to have a Jack Groening night. And the fans themselves sort of instigated this happening. And the fans themselves started contributing money and all kinds of different things to have gift, not the Cleveland team or the radio station. I think ultimately they were kind of shamed into actually taking part themselves. But so he had the night, and it was his own fans that made it all happen. And they gave him a big bunch of cash and a new car and whatnot as part of his Jack Groening night for his retirement in his final season there in Cleveland.
Why? Great story, John. So well deserved. The first player to become a broadcaster, and that was a pioneer that way. Great story. Great story about Jack Rainey. I really appreciate your doing that and explaining why he is getting the Ford C. Frick Award today. Terrific. John, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. And he did have a dog that they called Larry. And the dog was one in a gambling bet on a heavyweight championship fight by the Cleveland Indians head trainer, or in those days probably the only trainer. And the trainer ended up bringing the dog to the ballpark, and Jack Groening had so much fun with the dog that finally Napoleon Lajoie, who was the big star on the Cleveland team, the best hitter and a Hall of Famer on the way, at the end of the season, and he was a dog lover, he said, Jack, you're so close to that dog, just keep him. So Jack Groening used to, he kept the dog, and the dog became a mascot with the team. He'd be in the dugout during games. And he did lots of tricks. The players taught him. They would do something in road ballparks where they would line up, all the Cleveland players would go out into the outfield, and they'd line up, and they'd all bend over one after the other. And the dog would jump up on the back of the one player at one end, and he'd jump from one player to the next on the backs and the fans would applaud and cheer and whatnot. Some of the fans started coming out whenever Cleveland was in town just to see the dog Larry out there. So anyway, it was it was kind of a fun thing that they had back in those days with his dog. So he was kind of a character and an excellent broadcaster as well, and I think well deserving of this Ford C. Frick Award. And I'm really pleased because of the award. I was able to learn a lot about him, and I think that it's nice to have somebody as part of that the history of baseball broadcasting to be remembered as truly as one of the great pioneers and who paved the way for future. We don't think anything of it at all now for a former player to become a broadcaster. At that time, it was never even thought of, and people are a player is a bright what? And but then Harry Heilman, a couple of years later, because of the success that Jack Graney had, he was made a broadcaster in Detroit, a beloved future Hall of Fame player for the Tigers, and of course then many others subsequent. But Jack Graney was the guy, the first one to do it.
Well, it's great. Because of him and the way he broadcasts, we still have that love for baseball broadcasting today, which you bring to the air as well, and you are a Hall of Famer as well. John, thank you so much. This is terrific. Terrific for us to hear about and learn about Jack Graney and also your comments about Tim Kurchin. Have a great day, John. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay, Marty. All the best. Great weekend. The Hall of Famers, my congratulations to them all.
All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.